Welcome to Subway Sports Talk.
Dan, clear of the closing doors, please.
Welcome to Subway Sports Talk. My name is Peter Kennedy, and I am your host. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning into SST on the podcast app, Spotify, and on YouTube. Joining us today is nobody. It's just me, solo pod, mini pod, a short one coming up. Had to get out here and get some takes off our chest here because the football season's kicking in some ways. It's not chill, so it's not kicking it, but in New York here, it's getting its ass kicked. In fact, even though the Jets are off a win, we're here to talk about the New York Giants, and I want to specifically talk about the truth behind why the Giants are failing us all. Because when we think about all this stuff about the expectations of the Giants, what we saw last year from this team, this quarterback, and this coach, there are some things that misled us all that got us to a point with greater expectation than we should have. And that doesn't mean that what they've accomplished or not accomplished on the field to this point is excusable because it's been bad. However, I think there's something to what happened last year and what was expected this year that's important to think about that can show us a little bit of inkling of truth of how our expectations. I'm not saying just you. I'm not saying just me or anyone out here who's been on this podcast, but we were all led astray by some things that took place last year that were not exactly truthful. And we're going to get into all that in just a second. Also, after that, we're just going to do a little check-in, a little bit of a bring back from our over-under podcast in the preseason, one of our preview podcasts for the NFL this season, where I gave out my best over-under picks for 2023. We're just going to check in quickly with all those teams, see how they're doing, see how we're doing with our picks on over-unders. But again, back to the New York Giants and the truth behind some of their failures. Because right now, a lot of finger pointing is going around to Daniel Jones, to Brian Daboll, to this offensive line, to these weapons, to this defense. And at this point in time, through 5 weeks, it's really easy to say, sit here and say the Giants are failing their fans and this franchise across the board. There hasn't really been many standout units across the offense, defense, and special teams. I mean, from literally the quarterback to Saquon being injured to a lackluster receiver core to a poor offensive line performance to a defensive line that's been underwhelming to linebackers that are still okay to DBs that are giving up big plays to punt returners who can't field a punt. It's been bad. And that is not to be sugarcoated. That is not the purpose of this podcast. The purpose of this is to think about how we got here and to think about why we ended up here with a type of expectation and hope that we all had for this season. And in order to do so, we have to revisit last year. And I have to call out a team that was instrumental to why we thought the Giants were expected to make a jump in 2023. Last year, the Minnesota Vikings were 11-0 in one-score games. And everyone out here from Twitter people to expert pundits, floating heads, analysts, ex-players, we're all looking at the Minnesota Vikings and saying, this is not a real contender. This is not a real team. This team is smoke and mirrors, getting lucky with late game wins and comeback wins and one score games. That's going to regress. That's going to be the key point as to why they won't get lucky again in 23. And what's been true for the Minnesota Vikings this year is that all those things that went well for them last year, that were going right last year, they're not going right this year. They have over 10 fumbles lost through 5 weeks of the season. That's pathetic, right? But turnovers, are they something that you can actually use as a data point to project forward? Is there more of a variance in turnovers that you can't really trust to project forward? Perhaps. And perhaps that's how we all knew the Vikings were a fraudulent team, a fraudulent contender last year. They won all those one-score games, and where are they at this year? They're 1-4 through 5 weeks with only a minus 12 point differential. Lost by a touchdown to the Chiefs, lost with some garbage time by a touchdown to the Philadelphia Eagles, and continue to turn the ball over in key situations, whether it's Kirk Cousins' fault, which it mostly hasn't been this year, or is it just a running back, receiver, or tight end fumbling early in a game to put them behind, late in a game to stop a comeback? It's something that we kind of expected for the Vikings this year, which is a reason why many believe they would regress so hard. But why didn't we think that with the New York Giants? Last year, the New York Giants were a lot more similar to the Minnesota Vikings than any of us wanted to admit. What we're going to do here is we're going to explore that 2022 schedule to see how the Giants ended up in the playoffs, ended up with that chance to defeat the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs that led us to believe this team was better than it was. The Giants took down the team that every single pundit out there believed was a fraudulent contender, and the Giants knocked them off on their home turf in the playoffs. And it made people believe Daniel Jones was the guy. It made people believe Brian Daboll was the guy. And it made people believe that this Giants team had serious reason to believe that they should be back in the playoffs in 2023. But those two things don't add up to me. Those two things don't make sense to me. Because if you think about the team that was beat, was expected to be exposed as a fraud, was beat by the New York Giants. A team that wasn't expected to be exposed as a fraud because nobody thought that they were a true contender anyway. So why did we get so much hope after they beat a team that nobody believed in? Perhaps because hindsight is not always 20/20 when you're not looking through the right lens. And I think that's what happened to a lot of fans and a lot of pundits getting excited about this Giants season. Because last year, they won a lot of close one-score games as well. Who had the second best record in one score games last year behind the Minnesota Vikings? It was the New York Giants. Because you look at that 2022 schedule of wins for the New York Giants, and not even once did they win, only once did they win by more than one score. One time in their entire season last year where they went 9-7-1 did the Giants win by more than one score. That was week 17 against a tanking Indianapolis Colts team where they won 38-10. Daniel Jones only had to throw 177 yards in order to win that one because it wasn't close because they were playing a team in the tank who ended up with a top-tier pick and got their quarterback of the future, so they believe. Right? So again, why did we believe the Vikings' one-score victories would variant back to or regress back to the meme of not going 11-0 in these one-score games? The Giants got 8 one-score victories last year, and it didn't cross our minds to say that they might regress back to the mean and lose some of these games? Perhaps, perhaps not. We're going to go through that schedule in a minute. It's also important to remember who they beat in 2022. Did they beat the big bads of the league? Did they beat teams they weren't supposed to beat on a consistent basis? Have the Giants lost to teams that they were supposed to beat so far here in 2023? I don't want to do all this stuff to pretend like the Giants don't have issues. I don't want to do this stuff to pretend like Daniel Jones is passing the test. In fact, it's more so the opposite. In fact, it's more so that there was a curve on that 2022 season that none of us really noticed that the teacher put on there. They didn't get a 95 last year. They probably didn't get an 85 last year. They probably got in the 75 to 80 range at best in 2022. But based off the schedule they had that the Eagles shared and ran through, the Giants went 9-7-1 with a great streak early in the year, getting to 6-1 before losing a whole lot of games in a row. And then they got a couple wins towards the end and made the playoffs and beat the team we all thought were frauds. So let's think about that 2022 schedule again before we jump into 2023. We're going to run through all 9 wins for the New York Giants and skim through some of the other games. First, I want you to think about, just think about the Giants season from 22. Use your best memory. Try your best, right? Who did they beat? Who were the marquee wins on that Giants schedule last year? Just think about it. I don't know what you're thinking of right now, but if you asked me before I looked at this, I probably would have went, oh, I feel like they beat the Titans early. And maybe did they beat the, they beat the Ravens. That was pretty good. That was a good one. They beat the Ravens. Other than that, they didn't beat the Eagles. They didn't beat the Cowboys. They kind of split with the Commanders because they tied in that game. Who did they beat? Who did they lose? Was it just the Titans? I think it might have been. So let's go through it. And that's now I've looked at it. Now I've gone through this schedule, and I've already talked how 8 of the 9 wins were one score margins. So in week one, they knocked down the Tennessee Titans, kind of shocked the world. They win 21-20 in a low-scoring game where DJ didn't light the world on fire, but he looked all right. Saquon Barkley absolutely carried with 164 rushing yards, 21-20. If you remember correctly, Brian Daboll was lauded for his success in that game by being an aggressor, by being a risk-on coach in week one, saying, we're going to go win this game. And they did. And he did so continuously through those first few weeks, which is how they got off to the 6-1 start, right? So they beat the Titans in week one, 21-20. The Titans ended up being one of the losers of the year because Tannehill got hurt. They had no quarterback. Their roster wasn't as strong as it used to be. And they lost a bunch of games to lose out that season. And they weren't looked at as a top-tier team by any means. However, Giants were not expected to win. We'll tip our cap and say the Giants got one they weren't supposed to get. Moving on. Week two, the Giants beat the Carolina Panthers. We all know they ended up with the number one overall pick. They were not very good last year. They move on to lose to the Dallas Cowboys, as they've made a big-time habit of over the past, 10 years or so. Giants aren't beating the Cowboys. They're not beating Dak Prescott. Hasn't happened in a while. Probably isn't happening anytime soon, even with some of their shortcomings. Now we're at 2-1. Take on the Chicago Bears and Green Bay Packers in back-to-back weeks. Pretty solid wins. The Bears weren't in the tank just yet, but we know the Bears weren't a very good team last year. The Green Bay Packers also underperformed the entire year, especially early in those first 4 weeks or first 5 weeks. The Giants beat them in week five. So now we're 4-1. We go up to the Baltimore Ravens, and we knock down Lamar Jackson for one of his few losses of the year before he got injured and missed the rest of the season. That's a good win. Tip your cap. The Giants got one they weren't supposed to get, but other than that, the Panthers, the Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers, those are games that, looking at the season of 2022, are not as shocking to believe why the Giants won those, even if we thought the Packers were better in week five at that moment. Move on to week seven. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, who hadn't yet taken off and run away, or not run away, but run into winning the division, run into Trevor Lawrence having a breakout season. So the Giants win one there. I don't remember who was favored to win that game, but we know we can look at each other eye to eye here and say, the Giants were doing well. They were 5-1 at the time. The Jaguars have not come close to hitting their stride in the 2022 season just yet. So we'll put that off as a decent win, an okay win, solid win. Move on to the Seattle Seahawks, and they lose by two scores there, pretty similarly to how they did this year. Actually, it was a little bit worse in 23. They get the bye. They beat the Texans, another team, top-tier pick after 2022 because they weren't very good. Move on to week 11, they lose to the Detroit Lions, who just started kind of hitting their stride at that point, lose to the Dallas Cowboys again, tie with the Washington Commanders, and lose big to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now we're at week 15. The Giants are 7-5-1, and everything's starting to look a little bit bleaker than it was before when they were 6-1. What happened to this team? Can you argue that they hit a midseason lull? Can you argue that they played some better competition? I'm going to go with that one for now because they moved on to play Washington again, win a one-score game, 20-12, go to Minnesota, lose a one-score game. As we know, the Vikings were 11-0 in one-score games last year, 27-24. They go on to play the Indianapolis Colts in week 17. That was their big win again, but the Colts were in the tank. They had no reason to try. They had no reason to want to win that game. They clearly wanted to regroup and get a new quarterback in the draft, which they did in Anthony Richardson. Giants are now 9-6-1. They go to the Philadelphia Eagles, who are not playing Jalen Hurts, who don't care about this game. The Giants didn't really care about this game either. In fact, Davis Webb played quarterback and they lost. We're not even going to care about that one, but we know the Giants aren't up to snuff to defeat the Eagles. Going to the playoffs, and here we are, Minnesota Vikings. Just lost to them by 3 a few weeks prior. Vikings looked at as a fraudulent contender. We've been through it already, and they beat the Minnesota Vikings. Daniel Jones throws for 300 yards. He rushes for almost 80. Isaiah Hodgins breaks out, and oh my God, is this Giants team for real? Is this team a sneaky contender? Is this team going to do some stuff? They beat the Vikings. Okay. They weren't favored in that game. Okay. We all knew the Vikings were not real. They were not contenders for real. They go and get their ass beat by the Philadelphia Eagles, and that's the season. All in all, 9-7-1 playoff victory, top line status is success. Great season for the New York Giants. Wow. They completely outkicked the coverage. They beat expectations. The Giants weren't supposed to win a playoff game last year, and they did just that. But when I read through that schedule and I showed you who they won against and how they beat them, did you get a lot of confidence from that? Did you think the Giants actually were great last year? They weren't great. They were okay. But what did they do? They beat the teams that they were supposed to beat. Because all the teams that they were most definitely not favored against, including the Seattle Seahawks, the Dallas Cowboys twice, the Eagles twice, the Vikings, the Lions at that point, who's to say maybe the Giants were actually favored in that one? They lost those games. Who did they beat? The Bears, the Panthers, the Texans, the Commanders, the Colts in the tank? Is that impressive? Not very impressive to me. So why did we think the Giants were going to now all of a sudden show up in 2023 with a largely similar roster with just some upgrades here, upgrades there, kind of mediocre upgrades in other spots, and they're going to start running away with this NFC wild card area, right? Like they're going to be one of the teams that are guaranteed to be in this wild card race. They're not out yet. They're not done yet. But to this point, it's almost impossible to believe why we should think they will be in that race. Because what have they done to this point? They lost 40-0 in week one to Dallas. They were expected to lose, but that was an extraordinarily bad performance. They need a second half miracle comeback against the Arizona Cardinals, who are a little bit friskier than people expected after week two. But they needed a big time second half comeback where they scored all their points basically in the second half to just squeak out a 3-point win against the Cardinals. They were favored in that game and they won it. Did the job. Did what they were supposed to do. Not favored to beat the Niners. No one expected them to. They got beat bad. Not favored against the Seahawks. They weren't supposed to win. They got beat bad. Not favored against the Miami Dolphins. They weren't supposed to win and they got beat bad. Okay? So again, this is not to say an excuse for how the Giants have performed this year, because what you expected is a level of competition out of this team to make themselves in the same conversation with some of the better teams in the NFC. We're not talking about the Eagles and the Niners just yet. We're talking about the Seahawks. We're talking about the Commanders and now the Lions and even the Packers for that matter. We're talking about those teams hoping for wild card spots, for low-end division wins. Giants aren't playing to that caliber, but from a standpoint of actual results, it's kind of hard to believe that this schedule would look any different to this point than anyone should have in their right mind believed in the first place. They were never supposed to beat Dallas. They didn't. They were supposed to beat Arizona. They did. They would never beat San Francisco. They didn't. They could have beaten Seattle in theory, and they got their ass beat. They were not going to beat Miami, and they got their ass beat. Okay, so what happens from here? They go on and take on Buffalo at Buffalo next week. Buffalo's dealing with some injuries. Guess what? Buffalo's still favored to win. No one's picking the Giants to win that game. If you're taking them with the points, that's basically trying to be sharp, trying to make a smart pick, trying to beat the public in that bet, because there ain't no way people are putting their money or their pride on the Giants beating the Bills in Buffalo in week six. Okay, so there's another one. Chalk it up. Bills are supposed to win. They probably will win, and we'll move on from that. After that comes some of these games that they won last year. They took care of business. You get the Washington Commanders. You get the New York Jets. You get the Raiders back to back to back. That's 3 weeks in a row. They're either going to be favored or at a pick 'em or as a slight dog in those games as currently constituted. Even for as bad as they've been, they're not going to be home against the Commanders, and it's going to be more than a 1.5-point swing in either direction. So we're calling that a pick 'em, a chance for the Giants to win a game that they could win, and you can argue they're supposed to win. Same thing with the New York Jets. It's a home game for both of them, basically, technically a home game for the Giants. The Jets have the best defense, the best unit in that matchup, but the Giants' offense can be better. It hasn't necessarily been better, but it can be. I would see that spread to be in the same range as the Commanders, anywhere from 2.5 for the Giants, 2.5 for the Jets. So that's a pick 'em type game and a game you can say they could win. They should win. a game where they can take care of business. Same exact story for the Raiders in week 9. If they so happen to take care of business the way they did against the teams in 2022, when they beat the Bears, when they beat the Packers, when they beat the Texans, when they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Colts before they took off, and the Panthers, the Giants have a chance to do the same thing again here in 2023. However, they have less of those games in 23 because in 2022, the Eagles and the Giants had the two easiest schedules in the entire NFL. This year, they're much more middle of the pack, a lot more difficult games on their schedule. They go back to Dallas in week 10 after the Raiders game, will be expected to lose and probably will. Then they go and play the Commanders, the Patriots, and the Green Bay Packers. So now in the next about 8-9 weeks, they have 6 games that they will either be favored in, at a pick 'em, or slight dogs where you would not be shocked if they can take down their opponent. So what happens if they do that? If they take care of business? We're talking about a team that has 5, 6, 7 wins at this point. And that's only week 14. Then you got 4 games left against the Saints, Eagles, Rams, and Eagles to get to that 7-8 marker. Maybe 9. Who's to say? All it takes for the Giants right now is to shock the world twice and take care of business in other categories when you're either at a pick 'em or you're expected to win. Now, they're far from it. They don't look the part to be a team that takes care of business. They don't look the part to be favored by anybody right now. But to bring this back to the original point, the idea that so many of us fans and so many pundits had on the New York Giants was that they were gritty, they were aggressive, they had a quarterback who was getting into his own, and they had some just enough talent on the offensive and defensive side to take care of business and compete in this league. Okay? We, somewhere in that mix, we forgot how they actually accomplished that last year. They accomplished it not by taking down the Niners or the Dolphins or the Cowboys. They did it by taking down the Panthers and the Texans and the Colts and the Commanders. It's a very big difference. And for all the negativity that you feel for the Giants right now, there is still a chance when they get to week 14 and they do well against the Commanders and they beat the Jets or the Raiders and they beat the Patriots, who have been a shell of themselves as well, and they compete with the Green Bay Packers, that we're looking at a team with 6 wins. 6 wins with 4 games left. Yeah, 2 of them against the Eagles. Who knows how the Eagles will feel about week 18 this year? Looks like they might not care very much, right? The Giants have issues. The Giants are weak in many positions right now. But they have not played even near what they're capable of. So the questions about their offensive line are real. Their questions about Daniel Jones are real. The questions about Brian Daboll are going to start coming up more and more. But I don't think it's fair to Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and even Daniel Jones for that matter, to say that they're falling short of win-loss expectation right now. In fact, if you were honest with yourself as a Giants fan, you probably would have expected this. You maybe wanted to say, that they would beat the Seahawks. That's it. After we saw what this Dolphins team was, they had no chance. The Niners team, no chance. Cowboys, no chance. The Seahawks is the only game that we thought they had a chance here, other than the Cardinals, which they won. So from a win-loss expectation, we were all mistaken and not looking at the big picture of how they can get back to a 9-8 record or a 9-7-1 record for the 2022 matter. The way they get there is by beating the teams that they're equal to or supposed to beat. They didn't beat teams outside of 2 matchups that they were truly not supposed to win last year. And I don't know why we expected them to do anything else in the first 5 weeks or 6 weeks, including this next week against the Bills. I don't know why we thought that was a possibility either. Some of the other stuff that's inexcusable for the Giants, you know, last year on defense, they had a number 8th ranked scoring percentage against them. That's lower. That's the bottom 10 in the league, by the way. 39% of drives ending up in scoring drives for the opposing offenses. So they were a bottom 10 in scoring defense last year. And this year, guess where they are? They're 4th, 46% of scores right now. Again, Dallas, San Francisco, Seattle, Miami. What do we expect? Okay. So they're fourth. They were bottom 10 last year. They're bottom 10 again this year. You go back to offense, and this is where it's been very disappointing to this point. Last year, they were middle of the pack. They were 15th in the league in percentage of scoring play drives on offense, 37%, 15th, right? Almost smack in the middle of the NFL from an offensive scoring standpoint. Where are they this year? They're 31st. 22% of drives have ended in scoring plays for the Giants so far in 2023. So again, I'm not trying to say that this team has been better than we thought they were over these first 5 weeks. Do not get it twisted. This team is bad right now, and they have loads of problems. But back to the win-loss expectation, whether they're 31st in the league right now or if they're 17th in the league right now in offensive scoring percentage, they're still 1-5. We just feel a little bit better about them because they lost less embarrassingly, okay? There's a chance for the Giants to flip the script on this season a little bit. What we can't do is after they beat a Commanders, a Raiders, a Packers, a Jets, a Patriots, a Commanders again, and end up with 6 or 7 wins, we can't then say, oh my God, the Giants are back. The Giants might make a run. They're a sneaky contender. That's lying to ourselves. And that's all of us eating up the same falsehood that we ate up in 2022. All of us fans are at the detriment of our own expectation, of our own lens of 2022, where we wanted to see the positives, where we were pleasantly surprised by the amount of games that they won, where they shocked the world and beat the Vikings that nobody believed in anyway. We wanted to believe that was good. We wanted to believe this team turned a new leaf. We wanted to believe that Brian Daboll had all the answers. It turns out that Brian Daboll ain't going to do it with a bad O-line, with still a weak receiving core, with a defense that's giving it up left and right. But what can happen is that when they play teams in their same weight class, they will look like a real football team again. And they will compete at a level we expected to against the Commanders, the Jets, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Packers, the Commanders again. That's what this team is. That's the truth. The failure of the New York Giants, the failure of us fans, is having expectation that was completely unrealistic based off a season that we weren't looking at the finer details. So as much as it's on the Giants for putting out pathetic performance after pathetic performance so far in 2023, I think all of us got to put a hand up, wear this one on the cheek, and say, I think we might have messed up too. We might have had the wrong expectation for a team that truly wasn't or shouldn't have been expected to compete with the big dogs of the AFC or the NFC. They're still not ready to compete with the big dogs. They can compete with the small dogs. So for all this negativity, for all the season's over talk, for all the Daniel Jones sucks talk, just remember this conversation. Remember this podcast when they just might have 5 or 6 wins in week 11, week 13, and looking at a slight chance they're still on the bubble for a wild card spot. Remember this conversation, because that doesn't mean the Giants figured it out. That doesn't mean the Giants are turning the leaf again. It doesn't mean that Daniel Jones is the truth and Danny Dimes earned his money. It means that he was, or he is, exactly what he was, a guy who could compete against mediocrity and gets outshined against the big dogs. And it's not just DJ. Right now, it's DJ, it's the O-line, it's the weapons, it's the defensive line, it's the linebackers, it's the DBs, it's the special teams, and it's all the coaches. Whose fault is it? I don't know. A lot of holes, a lot of ways to get better. Part of the fault is us, all of us, for believing that 7.5 on their over-under was too low. It's probably just about right based off my calculations for the rest of this season. It's on us for believing this team put the negative in the past. It's on us for believing that they beat the Vikings and now they made it to where they needed to be. They ain't there yet. They're going to win some games, but they still are not there yet. That's my Giants take right now. Because there's too much, man. Too much to think about in this league when we're looking at our fantasy teams. We're looking across the league like so many of us are big NFL fans as well as Giants fans or Jets fans, right? So we're watching Red Zone, especially when the Giants are getting blown out. And we're thinking about what the Dolphins are doing. And we're thinking about Jordan Love on the Packers. We're thinking about Desmond Ridder and Bijan Robinson. And very simply, we forget that the Giants lost four games that they weren't expected to win. And they won one game that they were expected to win. Yeah, it's been pretty pathetic from an actual performance perspective. But there's a chance that this team is right back in the middle of the pack by the end of this year. And that doesn't mean it's a good thing. So I don't want people to think that I'm doing this to say, oh, the Giants are fine. They're going to end up with 7 or 8 wins. I'm not saying that. If anything, I'm saying the opposite. The Giants aren't fine because they're going to end up with 7 and 8 wins because they can't compete with anyone better than them. They could only compete with mediocre to poor teams. And that's the state of the Giants. That's the truth behind their failure, is that we all ate up the idea that this team was ready to compete. We all thought it was possible that Daboll was the truth. DJ earned the money. Not yet. And they still might win 8 games. That's football, Susan. Let's talk about the over-unders real quick before we go. I just want to wrap up, kind of do a quick check-in on my over-under picks. Again, Subway Sports Talk, Pete Kennedy. This will be over in just a couple more minutes, but I like to do this. You know, it's fun because we do all these over-unders. We do all these previews. We talk about teams that we're interested in, who are going to be exciting, underdogs, all this stuff. And that's what you try to do in over-unders, right? You try to take overs on the teams who are going to outkick their coverage, and you try to take unders on teams who are going to underperform. Pretty simple, right? So I made a bunch of picks. Let's talk about them. First and foremost, I said the Oakland Raiders. I've been doing that a lot lately. The Las Vegas Raiders, I had them at under 6.5 right now. Not looking wonderful for the, The Las Vegas Raiders, they got 2 wins already. Jimmy G in this offense can move the ball. They do have some sort of juice occasionally on offense. They do have some sort of juice occasionally on defense with Max Crosby. I think as of right now, the 6.5 is still in play because they're the type of team that if Jimmy G goes down, Devontae Adams goes down or gets traded, that they're going to really struggle to win games. I think they're going to be in more games throughout this year. So I'm not feeling wonderful about their 6.5, but it's 100% still in play for the Raiders to go under that 6.5 total. So for that one, I feel mediocre. I'll give myself a C+ on that pick because I think there's a chance they can get to 7 or 8 wins, but the under 6.5 very much still alive. This one I'm proud of because I wanted to. If you remember back to the over-under preview podcast, I really wanted to take the Patriots on the over. I thought their defense was going to be good. I thought they had a couple more weapons and were going to have a little bit more juice with Mac Jones being back and a real offensive coordinator and Bill O'Brien actually calling plays for them as opposed to Matt Patricia and Joe Judge last year. Like, that should have been better, right? It should have been a bigger boost. Patriots have been one of the most pathetic teams at this point in the NFL. They're 1-4. They beat the Jets. They've only scored 55 points this season. Believe it or not, that's worse than the New York Giants. That's the lowest total in the league for points scored by an NFL team this year. But in that over-under podcast, I said I wanted to do it, but I didn't do it because the Patriots had the hardest schedule in the NFL, ranked 32nd in the league for strength of schedule. And that's flipped. It depends how you look at it. They had the hardest schedule, okay? So I said I wanted to do it, and I didn't do it. I crossed it off during the podcast. And to that, I'm proud I did not bet the Patriots over. Packers under 7.5 with a double down on under 6.5 at plus 150. If you asked me this about 2-3 weeks ago, I would have been like, yeah, bad job, Pete. Bad job. You didn't do good on the Packers read, okay? But now you look at them and they're 2-3. They just lost to the Raiders. They are not looking like a strong offensive team. For all the talk about Jordan Love figuring it out and lighting the league on storm over the first week or two, he has come down to earth. He's making a lot more of those throws that I expected from him, because part of this bet on the Packers under 7.5 and double down on under 6.5 was that I didn't trust Jordan Love. I didn't trust that a first-year starting quarterback was going to work out with a bunch of young receivers like Christian Watson and Dobbs and Reed and et cetera, Musgrave. And guess what? They got some splash. They got some ability to make plays. They look way better than some of the other offenses in the league right now, but there's still a lot of shortcomings on that offense. And I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park for the Packers throughout the rest of the year. So I don't feel great about the double down of under 6.5, but I do feel decent about under 7.5 for the Green Bay Packers. I do think that the Jordan Love experience will still be an up and down roller coaster where sometimes he makes big plays and a lot of times he makes boneheaded decisions, bad throws, gets happy feet. They were talking about it on the Manning cast. He works really quickly through his progressions in a bad way where he's looking too fast, not letting his receivers get into their breaks. And it's just a little bit too rushed and muddled for this offense to really click smoothly for the Packers. So for this one, I'll give myself somewhere in the B. I think this one looks okay under 7.5 for the Packers. And I'd be shocked if they actually do take this NFC North by storm. Their luck is that they're going to play the Bears again. The Vikings may not figure it out and they may end up shutting it down if Justin Jefferson's on the IR, Kirk Cousins, who knows what they do with him. So the Packers are going to have some easier games at different points of the season. However, the under 7.5 feels like a good play so far for me. On to the New Orleans Saints. Who would have thunk that there's three win teams in the NFC South? The Buccaneers are 3-1, Falcons 3-2, Saints 3-2. Saints over under was at 9.5 at +114. So the opposite of negative juice on the Saints overs, +114 on FanDuel before the season when I took it. But I'm feeling okay about this. I think the main reason I did this pick, and this one's on my Instagram, if you want to go back and check it out, at Subway Sports Talk, is this defense is really freaking good. And to this point in time, the Saints defense has been really freaking good, right? Like their defense is fucking awesome. Their offense has not been as good. Their offense is struggling to get it going, but they're finding some rhythm. Chris Olave finally got in the end zone. Alvin Kamara is back, who was also a part of the reason why I trusted them to get the double digits. Derek Carr just getting in the swing, still figuring out the new offense, the new team, the new weapons. So for this one, I feel pretty good. And I look at this NFC South and I see the Bucs kind of shocking the world right now. Baker Mayfield kind of shocking the world right now. Falcons being a very sound and solid team, really could run the ball. Their defense is better than expected. But I still think the Saints are the marquee team in this division. And I still think the Saints can get the 10 wins. That loss to the freaking Packers is going to crush me, not only because I took the Saints in my weekly picks that week, but because that is might be a big one in their over-under for the season. Like they needed that win. They're up 17-0. Derek Carr gets hurt. Packers scream back and win that one somehow. It hurts me on the Packers under, hurts me on the Saints over, but I still think I'm confident in this pick and confident in the New Orleans Saints to win the NFC South to get over 9.5 because they will prove themselves as the best team in the NFC South. So I give myself a good grade on that one so far. Tennessee Titans under 7.5. This was +105 on DraftKings when I got it before the season. And I'm feeling pretty good about this one. I expected their offense to be poor, even with Tannehill back and playing so far all five games. They're just not able to move the ball consistently. DeAndre Hopkins is still a very good receiver. Derrick Henry is still a solid running back. And Tajay Spears looks maybe better than him, but there's no juice consistently on this Titans offense, and their defense has been okay. It's been solid. They had one really, really great week against the Bengals, but otherwise I've been very underwhelmed by the Titans, which is why I took them under 7.5. Feeling pretty good about this. I think the 7.5 number is going to be tricky, but thankfully for me in this bet here, the AFC South is a little bit better than expected at this point. The Jaguars, who we'll get to in a minute, are winning games and looking better and better each week. The Colts are much friskier than expected with their defense kind of flying around. The Richardson-Minshew combination kind of works because they're both solid and both better than expected. And who would have thought C.J. Stroud and the Texans would be so competitive through 5 weeks? And I think they're going to keep it up. I think C.J. Stroud is going to be able to continue to move the ball for the Texans. So all those factors help me out with the Titans under 7.5. That number is a little scary because even with the just mediocrity when you watch the Titans, they're still in all these games. They only got a -5 point differential. A lot of that's due to their big win against the Bengals, but they're just going to be there. They're going to be gnats on every opponent. They're going to compete. Vrabel's a good coach. It's why I was nervous to take under 7.5 in the first place, but I felt like it was the right pick based off my expectation on their offensive juice, my expectation on the Jaguars running with this division. And now the help is the whole AFC South looks pretty good. The Seattle Seahawks over 8.5. And I got to say, I'm feeling very good about this one. This offense has looked like one of the better offenses in the league. I picked this also in part because of how they drafted defensively in Seattle over the past 2 years. They got some playmakers. We saw it front and center with Witherspoon against the Giants on Monday night. They have some dogs. They got some playmakers. And Geno Smith was not a one-year wonder. Geno Smith is moving the ball. He's got those weapons. Kenneth Walker looks like a savage, one of the best running backs in the league to this point. They're 3-1. They had their bye already. And I think the Seahawks are going to continue to compete. And they're, unlike the Giants, a team that can actually punch up a little bit. Now, do I expect them to go in and beat the Niners? Do I expect them to go in and beat an Eagles? Maybe not yet, but at this point, I expect them to compete with those upper-level teams and take care of business against the lower-level teams, even though they lost to a frisky Rams team in week one. So Geno Smith, not a one-year wonder. Kenneth Walker, an absolute dog. Defense with playmakers. Love the Seahawks over 8.5. I think they're going to be the top-tier wildcard team right next to the Dallas Cowboys in this season. Last but not least, this was my biggest bet of all my futures. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not only did I take them over 9.5, I took them over 11.5 at plus 220 as well. Obviously, that was a double down. That was trying to make some big moves on the margins there. The Jaguars are fine. I'm not nervous. They just won 2 games in London, which, you know, take it with a grain of salt, take it for what it's worth. But they beat a very good team in the Buffalo Bills last week and another team that I expect to be able to punch up a little bit. They hung around with the Chiefs, had a chance to beat them. I think they're a team that could obviously beat the Bills. They just did so. They can hang with all the AFC North teams, all the AFC South teams, and the Miami Dolphins are the other question mark. Can they put up the offensive output to compete with a Dolphins-like team? I feel wonderful about the 9.5 over, which was the straight bet, minus 140 on DraftKings. And I feel okay about the over 11.5. I feel okay about it. I think they can go on a run. They still got those weapons. They're just kind of getting right with Ridley and Kirk and Trevor Lawrence, Evan Engram, ETM. All these guys are just starting to pick up motion and find that rhythm as we reach week 5, week 6. I think they're going to get better and better as the year goes on. I expect them to take the AFC South and be that team to wear the crown with confidence, and I still expect them to do so. So I give myself a decent grade on that one as well. So Raiders under 6.5, okay. Packers under 7.5, okay. Saints over 9.5, pretty good. Seahawks over 8.5, very good. Titans under 7.5, solid. And Jaguars over 9.5, very good. So those are my check-ins for over-unders for the podcast preview. And that's all we got for Subway Sports Talk. A little bit longer. I said this would be a short one. You know me. It's never going to be that short. 40 minutes. That's kind of short for us. So hopefully you enjoyed. If you like these semi-shorter pods, if you like the solo pods, if you like when I break down longer form stuff, like when I really lock in on the Giants from 22 versus 23, if you like that stuff, let me know. Hit me on Twitter, at Subway Sports Talk. On Instagram at Subway Sports Talk, TikTok Subway Sports Talk, YouTube Subway Sports Talk. Hit me up on all those platforms. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review on your podcast app. That's all we got. I'm Pete Kennedy. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you on Friday with Week 6 NFL picks. Recap on that. Another winning week for the boys. 3-0 for Cody O'Connor. 3-0 for Pat Boyle. Now, that's three separate 3-0s this year. Me and Mark Shanlugan went 1-2. But guess what? Another winning week for the fellas. We'll be back Friday to try to give you another winning week. That's all we got for now. Subway Sports Talk. I'm Pete Kennedy. Cheers.